Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Amen, y'all. Amen. You all may be seated. I'm going to get you guys standing up one more time for the reading of God's word in just a minute, but it is an honor to be here. And listen, how many of you know that sometimes because we have a preconceived idea of what something should look like, we overlook the value of what we have? We overlook the value of the moment, right? And, you know, obviously, you guys could be a lot of other places, but you find yourselves here. And I want to thank you for your presence. But I really believe that we've got to stop obsessing over our expectations not being fulfilled sometimes and really just live in the value of the moment, right? And what I mean by that is sometimes it's like, man, like, I'm really expecting, you know, a whole bunch of people to show up and do this thing, you know what I'm saying? And then our expectation isn't fulfilled. And we actually miss the value of the moment that we were able to still have. It's kind of like people were, you know, missed the value of having Jesus in their presence every day because he wasn't fulfilling their expectation of what they thought maybe a Messiah would be, the ruling, reigning king that was coming to set up a kingdom. And they missed out on the value of a moment. And I don't know, they just blurted that out, just kind of just fell out, you know what I mean? So listen, you know, you might have an expectation for your family, an expectation for the day with your family, an expectation like, man, you know, how many of you ever watched National Lampoon's, you know, Vacation or, you know, things like that? Like, the guy, Chevy Chase, is like, he just is a screw up. He just messes. I mean, but his intentions are pure, you know what I'm saying? And he has this expectation to get the Wally World or whatever it's called. And I'm not promoting the movie and saying, go watch it, you know, but what I'm saying is I'm just referencing that movie because, you know, they're just gung-ho, and specifically he's gung-ho, and he has all these thoughts of grandeur, and like, man, we're going to have a great time, and it just goes south because things get screwed up, you know, and really he's missing the moment, the quality time he's having with his kids and the time that he gets with them in the car and stuff like that, and he might miss out on that, or they're missing out on their time with their dad or their husband because they're bored or they're frustrated or they're trying to get somewhere, you know what I mean, and it's not happening, and they're not taking in the moment. And I just want to encourage you guys to just learn to take in the moment a little bit more, you know, because you're not going to always have that opportunity or the presence of that specific opportunity. You know, I think of the busy schedule that I hold, and I think of the busy schedule that the ministry has at times, and I have, and all the stuff that I have going on in my mind, and especially the things that kind of, you know, pile up right before I leave for a trip. You know, this is a little sermonette, a little hors d'oeuvre real quick, but And just I think of the things that lead up to, right, a trip, and you know, I get short-tempered sometimes and impatient and things like that because, like, I'm so focused and so pulled and there's so much stuff going on in my mind, and I've found myself being confronted. You know, it's like, man, my three-year-old's not going to always be a three-year-old. My four-month-old definitely is not going to be a four-month-old for long. You know, my 11-year-old will not be an 11-year-old for too long. And so I just cherish what you have. Just cherish the moment. And stop living in the grudging feelings of, I didn't fulfill my expectation. It didn't do what I expected. Get over yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to get over myself and just say, you know, I'm going to live in the moment. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to be mean. Maybe I shouldn't have just said get over yourself, but like, I had to get over me. So if I have to get over me, you have to get over you, you know? got to be co-equals here, you know. But I don't know. I just had to share that. Just live in the moment, right? Because I'm telling you something, we're going to address discouragement in just a moment. And can I tell you something? Discouragement, and I'm going to start my timer because we're going to just jump right into this. Discouragement can be almost like kryptonite, metaphorically, to the opportunist spirit, having the opportunist type of mentality that I'm going to capitalize. I'm going to seize the moment, the opportunity of something, right? How many of you have ever been around someone that's just an opportunist? They're just like, you know what? I'm going to take this as an opportunity to capitalize on something, you know? And I want to talk about that, but discouragement, and you might want to write that down. I'm starting my timer right now. Discouragement can actually be like a kryptonite to the optimistic and opportunist spirit. And that's going to make more sense in just a minute. And I'll talk a little bit more about opportunist type of spirit or mentality. Amen. And that will make more sense in just a minute, because I believe an opportunist, right, is one that creates defining moments and attracts the entrepreneur spirit. Okay, and we're going to talk about that. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But an opportunist is one who exploits circumstances to gain immediate advantage rather than being guided by consistent principles or plans. That's not my definition. That's my iPad's definition of an opportunist. And I just feel like that because we have the Holy Spirit with inside of us, He not only gives us the ability to speak in other tongues, with, you know, the evidence of speaking in tongues. He doesn't, and that's beautiful and that's amazing. He doesn't just empower us and is the capacity to bear fruit and to operate in gifts. I really believe that the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, gives us this appetite to actually capitalize on opportunity. You think of whenever Peter, right, and the other disciples and the other people in the upper room are filled with the Holy Spirit. You look at the opportunity that Peter seized and started to speak through the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit. You think of Jesus, and when he sees people following him, there is like this opportunist type of mentality of like just seizing the day that came upon him, and he grabbed a hold of that opportunity. And I just really believe that God wants us to actually step into great opportunities for the kingdom to succeed. And I really believe that God wants us to operate in an opportunist type of mentality and spirit in society, and given any situation, we capitalize on the moment. It's that Spirit of God. I love this in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. I quote this some, but in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Peter and John are in an unfair moment, right? And it looks like they're at a disadvantage. They were arrested for healing a man in Acts 3. Okay, it wasn't like, okay, we're in Acts 3. We're going to raise this man up from the gate called Beautiful. There was no chapters, but I'm just saying in Acts 3, they raise a man from up who was paralyzed, and then they're arrested, and a lot of people would have been swallowed up by the disadvantage of something. But it says, when Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, or Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit, that spirit caused this opportunistic type of mentality to spring up inside of Peter to speak in boldness through the sufficiency of grace, which was the Spirit of God, to actually like seize the moment. And I really believe that if we are going to love where we live, come on somebody, we need to understand that when we're at a disadvantage, Amen. It is the opportunity for our gifts, the gifts of God, to be stirred up and to bubble up and to come forth. And so I just want to talk about the celebratory realms. And this is like a real deep, complex thought of a title. But I want to talk about the celebratory realms of the opportunist. Of the opportunist. How many of you know I want to be more of an opportunist than someone that's swallowed up by disadvantage. So I want to talk about the celebratory realms of the opportunist. And let me just share a story personally that I feel like can bring some relatability and maybe illustrate kind of where we're going to go tonight. And then I'm going to actually share another historical story, but this one isn't going to be about Christmas in July like last night. We're going to talk about Krispy Kreme. How many of you have ever had a Krispy Kreme donut? Hallelujah. Like, how many of you are like cake type of donut people, like the cake donut people? Oh, really? I love you. How many of you like those like yeasty, fluffy, airy donuts? You know what I mean? Like you take a bite and it just squishes and starts to melt in your mouth, especially if they're fresh and hot like Krispy Kreme likes to serve them up, right? So we're going to talk about that, and you're going to learn tonight how a preacher prophet can actually take Krispy Kremes and historical thoughts of Krispy Kremes and actually use it to articulate an opportunist. Can I tell you something? An opportunist sets the tone and also is the tuning fork for society. And I really believe that God wants us to know that we have that type of spirit inside of us, but it's not a separate spirit. It's just the residue. It's the result. It's the effects of the Holy Spirit filling us in the moment of disadvantage. An opportunist is actually a tuning fork for society. And so I want to talk about the celebratory realms of the opportunist, and I want to just share a quick story. I was just up in Canada, and I told you I would share some testimonies from Canada yesterday and never got to it, but I was up in Canada, and I was at a Hispanic church, and I love my Hispanic community, man, and I love preaching with an interpreter can be a challenge. Prophesying can be an extreme challenge, right, when you have an interpreter that's following you with the prophetic, and you're trying to share prophetically, and they're trying to interpret, and you're, they don't know words that you're saying in the prophetic word, and it can be challenging, but it's fun. And I'll be actually heading to Mexico. I mentioned this, but I'll be heading to Mexico next month, and I'll be using an interpreter there, and I use an interpreter for when I speak in Pakistan. And a cool thing about Pakistan, I just wanted to share this with you. Last year in October, I did an outreach in a really hostile area. In that outreach, over 1,600 people gave their lives to Jesus. I think it was over 600 people, this is stuff I've been told, right? Over 600 people got healed or have a form of a testimony of God doing something. Come on, somebody. God drew us to a place of disadvantage and said, let's just use this as an opportunist, like a moment for the opportunist. And that was super cool, but it's so neat because I confirmed this, that what they're telling me is they've started home groups and churches out of their outreaches that I've been doing through the internet, just through the internet. And they want me to physically come over and minister, maybe do like a small crusade, a pastor's gathering and stuff. And then they want me to go and visit the churches that were started because of Wake Ministries' presence, because of the opportunistic type of spirit that came upon me to say, hey, I'm going to seize this moment. But getting to Canada, I was just in Canada. I love Canada. I haven't been there for 5 years because of COVID and the vaccination passport issues, and they were locked down. They were like Jericho. No one came in and no one went out. Like literally, they were really like seized with fear. And I get everyone's trying to respond to sicknesses and situations, and we as a society, as a world, we responded different ways, you know what I mean? But for 5 years, I wasn't able to get to Canada because for this or that. But finally was able to go there, and I was at this Hispanic church. It was so cool because I'm starting to pray for people and using this opportunity to pray for people. And I get up to this guy that I find out was actually from the Congo. The area that I was ministering, there is a convergence zone. It was almost like Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. It was like the world assembles in the Brooks, Canada area. And there's people from all over, different walks of life, culture, diversity. It's beautiful. And long story short, I'm starting to pray for people. And as I'm praying for people, I come up to this black gentleman from the Congo. Didn't know he was from the Congo at the time. And I look at him, and the Lord automatically came upon me. It was like this. It was an anointing. God said, in the midst of this person's disadvantage, you're going to have an opportunity here to say something that's going to trigger something. And I looked at this man, and all of a sudden, it bubbled up out of me, I guess, or it was just something that came forth. And I said, I break every assignment. And all of a sudden, he looks at me, and he starts to smile. And then all of a sudden, I think he starts like, so this will be stretching to some, but he starts to seize up and he starts to manifest demonically. God was casting out a devil. And some of you might be freaked out by that, but that's the kingdom. You can cleanse the leper, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils. So all I said was, man, I just break and rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden he starts screaming. He starts rolling around. On the floor doing other things that I won't get into because it might scare some people and stretch some people. Just say there had to be carpet cleaner that came out, you know what I mean? And it was a situation. We had dinner with the pastor later, and I used it as an opportunity to just get some explanation, like what's going on. And he says, this wasn't the first time that this happened. And see, what had happened was I was sensing a form of witchcraft on him and almost like this voodoo-like type of witchcraft stuff on him. And I just said it to the pastor, and the pastor's like, yeah. And here what had happened was, now this is going to make sense, and then we'll tie Krispy Kremes into it, and then you can leave and say, he talked about demons and Krispy Kremes, you know what I'm saying? And it's awesome. But anyways, it's going to make sense, I promise you. And so... So we started talking about this man's situation, and here his dad was like a king or something in the Congo. He passes away, and this gentleman and his siblings now have a feud over land, inheritance, property. Some of his siblings hire a witch doctor to cast curses on their other siblings. The first one to die, watch this, there's a reason. The first one to die was their mother. From their curses. Now watch this. Listen to me. The enemy loves to be an opportunist. But we need to be the ones anointed by God and get in the way. Seize the opportunity. Knowing we're anointed by God to love our city that way. To love our family that way. To be so in love with the truth that in the moment we can stand in the gap and get in the way of the enemy seizing the opportunity. Man, I don't know about you, but I want to be so alert. I want to be so aware. I want to be so focused on the Lord where I discern opportunity. And I know what to do to get in the way and actually seize the opportunity. And so here, all of a sudden, like I was drawn to like a ring he had and a necklace. Me and the pastor, I brought that up. The pastor's like, I was thinking the same thing. We need to talk. I think the pastor's like, I just wanted to rip it off of his neck. You know, he's a radical Hispanic dude and from Mexico, great guy. And so he's going to follow up and actually use that as an opportunity to speak to him. And what was crazy, though, was that I'm not saying I can say with confidence he was completely free from certain things, but he was delivered from certain things that night. And what I think is amazing is fear didn't get in the way, discouragement didn't get in the way, exhaustion didn't get in the way. It was an opportunity that I looked at and said, man, we're going to capitalize on this in a good, healthy way. And God is looking for people. I'm not saying I always get it right, but God is looking for people that are opportunists that get in the way of disadvantage. God's, I believe, wanting to raise up in this region, and I believe it's here at this church already, but it's going to be stirred, pastors, more than ever, is that drive to the optimistic view and the opportunistic type of actions. So I want to talk about that in just a minute, the celebratory realms of an opportunist. But before I do that, can I just share some historical thoughts with you that drove this message? And it was something I watched on the History Channel several months ago, and it drove me to these thoughts of being an opportunist. So Krispy Kremes, right? They opened their doors actually on July 13th, 1937. I believe they actually bought, in Winston-Salem, they bought a church and converted it into a warehouse, and they were actually making donuts, right, to distribute to the grocery stores that were around them. People would smell, if I got my facts right, people would smell the smell of freshly baked donuts, and they would come to the building where they were making donuts. And one of the gentlemen that was a business partner was actually turning people away from getting fresh hot donuts there in the moment and said, you just need to go to the grocery store that buys our donuts and pick them up there. There was a guy that didn't really like that. So there's a guy named Vernon Rudolph. He bought a secret yeast, and I love my yeast-raised donuts, recipe from New Orleans, French chef, and rented a building in what is now historic Old Salem in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and began selling the Krispy Kreme donuts on July 13, 1937 to local grocery stores. The delicious scent of cooking donuts drifted into the streets, and passersby stopped to ask if they could buy hot donuts. So he cut a hole. He cut a hole in the outside wall and started selling original glazed donuts directly to customers on the sidewalk. I love when I was watching this unfold, because they had dramatized it on the historical channel, the History Channel, and they literally see that this one guy is like turning the people away and saying, go and buy them at the grocery store. And this another guy, I think it's a separate, different guy, takes a sledgehammer and starts doing drive up, or almost like walk up, drive up window service that then wouldn't be adopted by fast food chains for a season later. Talk about an opportunist. Seriously, talk about an opportunist. I want that. He was at a disadvantage. He was at a place of discouragement. He was at a place of frustration. But this opportunistic type of spirit came upon him, and he seized the moment and created a revolution and turned over major profits, because they started making more profits doing that than selling them at local grocery stores. So the celebratory realms of the opportunist, I want to just focus first of all on the word celebration. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 9. Yes, I know my Bible. Isaiah 25, verse 9 says this, and this is like a thought on them anticipating God's salvation. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Rejoice. The celebratory realms of an opportunist. And celebrating is a joyous occasion that devotes applause around a current success. Real simple. We don't need to be complex on our descriptions of celebration, because we know what it is. But for just not entertainment's sake, but for us to really set up what I believe God wants me to just declare and embolden tonight, I just want to share some thoughts on celebration. Celebrating is to embolden a particular thing with your voice or actions to draw people's gaze to the beauty that would be missed if you didn't celebrate. Let me say that again. Celebration is to embolden a particular thing with your voice or actions to draw people's gaze to the beauty that would be missed if you didn't celebrate. Honestly, just be honest with me. How many of you have seen something maybe your spouse did and it's going overlooked and you're like, man, I'm not okay with that. So you boastfully, right, celebrate what they've done. Come on, somebody, to bring people's gaze to the beauty that would have been missed if you weren't the one that chose to celebrate. That's an opportunist as well. I'm going to take this opportunity to celebrate, to actually highlight, to broaden a particular thing to draw people's gaze to. Celebrating is the action that, watch this, let me say it this way. Celebrating is the action to uphold the integral structure of a particular thing that someone built through actionable honor. Let me say that one again. Celebrating is the action to uphold the integral structure of a particular thing that someone built through actionable honor. Celebrating is the joyous conclusion of winning with God. Enjoying, watch this, celebrating is enjoying the spoils of a great effort and win. Do you know how Jehoshaphat and the people, after God supernaturally intervened and defeated their enemies in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, do you know how one way they celebrated? They plundered the spoils for, I think, 3 days. So celebration is enjoying the spoils of a great effort and win. But I want to talk about just real quick, just break down continuously, because I feel like this is something that God wants to come upon you. Because God wants to bring you to this celebratory realm through being optimistic and an opportunist. So watch this. Celebratory realm. A realm is actually a domain. I believe it's like what I think a realm is, a particular perimeter that has special functions that are accustomed to and only fits in that perimeter. Realm can actually mean kingdom, and I don't know about you, but there's a lot to celebrate in the realm of the kingdom. So here we go, the celebratory realms of an opportunist. This guy takes a sledgehammer, slams a wall, makes a window where there was a wall. Opportunist. Later on, I believe they were actually really slagging in their production and their output, so they actually get with engineers and they start building a mechanism that actually mass-produced donuts so that they could keep up with demand. You can't stop an opportunist. If anything, disadvantage fuels them. And this is the kind of spirit. Now listen, it's Holy Spirit. It's not a separate spirit. It's this. When I say spirit, though, it's this kind of attitude that God wants to land on a city, but wants to land on a city through an impartation of it where the city's the recipient of it through a church like Thrive that wants to love on their city. An opportunist, and I wrote a lot of stuff about an opportunist. I took a nap, and then I was like, oh, I don't feel like writing notes on an opportunist. And then I text Hannah and Brian and said, is anyone making special food? Because I think I'm going to just eat later because I need to spend time prepping for today, and I'm glad I did because the Lord just like opened up some thoughts on an opportunist. And an opportunist is this, and this is what I feel like, it's not something you have to strive to be, it's something that Holy Spirit wants to make you into, not by your own might nor by your own power, but by Him and His empowerment, to where, like Peter, you're emboldened in the moment, grace's sufficiency, which is the Spirit of God, comes upon you, and you become an opportunist in the midst of disadvantage. Opportunists are people who will bend over backwards for an idea that may not been proven to bring about a succession of success yet, but they are looking to pierce the current level of oppression where they will be the exception. No one took a hammer or a sledgehammer, put it into a wall, and made a drive-up window or a walk-up window. McDonald's and Burger King and others, I think, wouldn't have adopted that kind of concept until like 10 years later. I think it was like 10 years, 20 years later, maybe 30 years. I don't know. I forget. But watch this. Opportunists are people who will bend over backwards for an idea that they may not have been, that may not have been proven to bring about a succession of success, yet they are looking to pierce the current level of oppression where they will be the exception. That opportunistic type of opportunity and entrepreneurship and vision and integration of this guy with Krispy Kreme made them the exception for a season. Watch this. An opportunist, watch this. And I wrote this down, and I'm not saying I know everything on everything, but these are just some things the Lord shared with me. There are ones not easily hindered by obstacle, yet easily angered with, watch this, angered, yes, angered with the idea of being defeated. They are ones not easily hindered by obstacles, yet easily angered with the idea of being defeated. They are ones who have too much pride, right, in something that they are too proud to bow. Well, pride, I thought, was a wrong thing. Listen to me. I don't know about you, but I find great appreciation for the things of the Lord, that I will become too proud to bow to the enemy. Well, God wants to take me out of pride. I get pride and the negativities of pride. I preach against pride. I'm not trying to amplify the worldly pride that causes you to dominate and hurt and seize opportunity just for yourself. But what I am trying to say is God wants you to be so motivated that you don't bow. They are ones that are looking for solutions. They are ones who are not easily defeated. They are ones who do, watch this, don't like to take no for an answer. And see, you can't obtain this type of behavior without the Spirit of God. They are ones who don't like to take no for an answer. Watch this. They hate to be stuck in the current flow, and they love to uptake the current. Let me say that again. They hate to be stuck in the current flow, and they love to update what's current. They're usually, because watch, I told you this, opportunists are ones who are actually like tuning forks for society. They are ones who are full of crazy, wacky ideas because their idea hasn't been proven to be reliable in their circles yet, but they are slightly driven by the naysayers. I don't know what you're doing here. I don't even know what I'm doing yet. You know, I hear a preacher say it's crazy until it happens. It's crazy to ask for certain things that God wants you to ask for. It's crazy until it happens. And he preaches a sermon series on crazy faith. And I can't say I promote everything that he says, but I love how he looks at certain things. And he's like, man, it's only crazy until it happens. They love what they are doing, and they look for ways to plow. They are truthful with themselves and are not detached from the reality of the situation, yet they refuse to allow the situation any decorative rights to their surroundings. Let me say that again. They are truthful with themselves and are not detached from the reality of the solution, yet they refuse, our situation, yet they refuse to allow the situation any decorative rights to their surroundings. Can I tell you something? A lot of like successful food chains and a lot of successful people, right? Like Dave Thomas, can I tell you something? He actually worked for KFC before he started Wendy's. Wendy's is actually part of his resurgence of his story because he's an opportunist. He gets treated bad at the a high level of KFC. And it wasn't the Colonel Sanders. It was already bought out by that time. And he's actually leaves. He quits because of the unfairness, the disadvantage, and he was discouraged and he had kids at home. And all of a sudden he creates these ideas that now has become a billion-dollar industry in the burger industry because someone refused. Come on, somebody. They refused to allow that negative situation decorative rights to their surroundings. This is an opportunist. They are ones who pull from measures in people to bring wholeness to a plan. Let me just hunker on this one. They are ones who pull from measures and people to bring wholeness to a plan. Do you know the Bible says to each of us has been given a measure? And they will pull from measure to bring wholeness to a plan. They're ones that if they're not good at building a team, they'll find people that are good at building a team because they want to pull together measure for the wholeness of a plan. Because they want to be the tuning fork for society. And the whole theme is live, love where you live. Can I tell you something? Being an opportunist is loving where you live by being the tuning fork for your sphere of influence. Are you guys okay? They are ones who are not satisfied by moments. They are driven with the ambitions of forward movement. They want movement, not just moments. They grudgingly do being driven with passion because they know the integrating qualities of this kind of behavior, which is grudgingly doing maybe what they don't want to do. They, in a metaphoric sense, capitalize on a sale. And I'll explain this one, okay? They are, in a metaphoric sense, capitalize on a sale that will make a greater sale. Like, you ever see someone at Walmart go to the discount section and they buy up those things on discount and then put them on Amazon for a bigger price? That's an opportunist. But kingdom thinking now, metaphorically speaking, you're not doing this for your own benefit, but for the benefit of other people. Why are you saying this? Because God wants us to not miss opportunity. That's why he wants us to operate in the spirit of an opportunist. Now watch this. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 10. I'm actually not going to be much longer in front of you, so yay, you can go home now soon. But Acts chapter 10, looking at verse 9 through 16. Acts 10, 9 through 16. And it says this, Peter's vision. The next day, Acts 10, 9 through 16. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the, up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. How many of you know opportunity to just get away? Verse 10, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." Verse 15, and a voice spoke to him again the second time, and this is red lettered for me, so this means it's Jesus speaking, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Verse 16, this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. If you look at things earlier in chapter 10, Cornelius sends a delegation. He sends for Peter. So these guys are coming to get Peter. Peter doesn't know this yet, and so now Peter falls into a trance, and I really believe what is happening here is saying the gospel needs to spread into Gentile territory. What was happening is, I'm not trying to like build this up to something, but it was like, okay, maybe he was bored, maybe he had some time on his hands, or maybe he was just driven by the opportunity to spend some time in with God, that he goes up to a roof, to a secluded place, he ends up getting hungry, he was there a long time, and he falls into a trance and intimately interacts with the voice of Jesus visually, and Jesus says, "Rise, kill and eat, Peter." Well, that's unclean. How many of you know a devout Jew would think Gentiles are unclean people? And what God was actually saying was, it's not about food, even though you're hungry. It is actually trying to say that I want you to become an opportunist in the with the gospel for the kingdom, for the kingdom's sake. See, God wants you to have the qualities of an opportunist for the kingdom's sake. And so God is having this interaction to bring Peter to a conclusion. Can I tell you something? And the conclusion was the end of Peter. Concluding Peter's journey. Concluding Peter's thoughts that caused him or would have caused him the missed opportunity. Are you guys okay? Are you guys okay? You good? Are you sure? Okay. They, in a metaphoric sense, now let me go back to this statement. They metaphorically, and in a metaphoric sense, capitalize on a sale that they will make a greater sale. Have you ever went to a yard sale and you're like, man, I could so buy that for $2. I'll pay the $2 and I could put it on eBay and get 50. I watch videos on Facebook of people that will actually go. Now, this will make kingdom sense in just a minute, but let me just share this as a point, as an analogy. I will watch videos of people on Facebook going to yard sales, buying like a Nintendo 64 for $5, you know what I mean, and get all these games, and they're like, oh, I sold this game for 30, and I sold this one for 15, and I sold that, and it's like their profit is outrageous. That's an opportunist. And if the world can do that for personal gain, why can't we in the kingdom for the kingdom's sake? Look at a disfranchised something in our city, but we have such an overflowing love for our city that we become, where we plead with the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come upon me like you did with Peter in Acts chapter 4 so he could be an opportunist and speak boldly to a crowd that was inflicting disadvantage and intimidation. Lord God, I pray that you would give me not just that opportunistic type of thought, but give me that entrepreneur spirit. Kingdom. Now I want to make sure I do this. Kingdom opportunists are ones who get a good deal so they can enrich others. Kingdom opportunists are ones who don't lay siege on an opportunity, but not for themselves only. Kingdom opportunists are ones who don't lay siege on an opportunity for themselves alone, where they where their capital increases. Rather, they are looking at others and how all can win if they personally and single-handedly lay siege of an opportunity. Let me say that again. Kingdom opportunists are ones who don't lay siege on an opportunity for themselves alone, where their capital increases. Rather, they are looking at others and how all can win if they personally and single-handedly lay siege of something, lay hold of something called opportunity. See, you got Jacob and Esau. Jacob was an opportunist. And his mama helped. His mama helped. And I'm not saying the way they went about things should be applauded, but I will say this. Maybe there's an element that we need to applaud, where it's like, meaning that there was an opportunity and the true opportunist stood up and took hold. Saying that we should deceive and none of that stuff. That's not kingdom. There is something Esau may have missed that Jacob capitalized on. It's a different thought. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an Esau that misses it. I want to be an opportunist that says, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that my calling increases and my gifts are utilized, but I also want it to benefit someone else's capital and not my own gain. You guys over here? An opportunist. Those who want to love on their city or love where they live are opportunists. Opportunists. Come on. Can I tell you something? My wife, let me just share this one so I can break it up a little bit and I'm not just hitting all these points and giving you writer's cramp. Give your hand a break. But my wife is beautiful, and I remember when I was having interest in her, right? And I'm not trying to make this fleshly, just hear my heart. I had interest in her, and so we were texting, and she's like, oh, I'm just finishing up a run at a state park, and you know, if you want to come and hang out, that's cool. So I come and hang out. And I had two questions because I'd known her for so many years, but I didn't know her age at the time. This was years ago now, please forgive me. We're going to be coming up to 10 years of marriage next April, okay? So it's been a while, okay? It's been a while since this happened. But anyways, we go over to, I meet up with her and we're talking and stuff like that, and I had two questions, Pastor Brian, that I wanted answered. Age and is she single? Age and single, you know what I'm saying? Like, and Caleb's looking at like, what? I needed to know. I saw beauty. I saw like a personality, a spirit, a love for Jesus in her. But I saw beauty. I'm just gonna be honest. She was beautiful, and I wanted to be an opportunist in that moment. A lot of you who are married, you seize the opportunity. And I don't believe I was the only one that had capital gain. She got blessed too. I guess, but anyways. Kingdom opportunists are ones who may watch make windows out of walls to increase the kingdom. Just let that sit in. Let your minds wander with that for a little bit. Preachers don't always have to give you the analogies to catch your brain up with that statement. Like, let God, let Holy Spirit speak to you in some of this. But kingdom opportunists are ones who make windows out of walls to increase the kingdom. They're ones that don't waste kingdom offers. Can I just say this? They don't waste kingdom offers. They're ones who don't let kingdom offers collect dust. There are ones that wear out the covers and pages of kingdom content because they are always looking to get one up on the earth by staying up to date with current affairs in heaven. They don't take butting heads personally. They use it as content that builds prevention. Let me say that one again. Y'all are quiet. I hope it's because you're listening. They don't take butting heads personally. They use it as content that builds prevention. How many of you have ever butted heads with somebody? And what I mean by that is, and no, I'm not trying to be vulnerable and say we have a problem, but butting heads is literally when our hands are in agreement, but maybe our heads on a topic's not lining up. So we butt heads on a topic, we debate about something. We have different views on something, right? I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, you know? Love it or hate it, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. And I'm just trying to make this simple, okay, and easy. And Pastor Brian, do you like football? Not even a team. That's like the great value brand of NFL. But anyways, but you did beat us. See, we're butting heads. We're butting heads. We're butting heads. But an opportunist, don't take butting heads personally. They use it as content that builds prevention. An example of this is I get a text message from a boy that I'm actually mentoring. Well, I'm not mentoring. Let me rephrase that. I got a text message from a kid that I've mentioned at the leadership meeting, at least, where every night, or mostly every night, I text him at 10 p.m. because his desire is to read the Word. And so I just jump on the text message, and I encourage him to get in the Word. And he'll be like, thanks, and okay, or got it, or I will, or, you know, whatever. Well, he texts me today and said, can we start over? Because I haven't been reading my Bible for 2 weeks like I said I would or will was. And can I tell you something? I'm a little frustrated about that. And I think I text them back, okay, ouch. But can I tell you something? I'm sure I'll say something that will build prevention. And what I mean by that is, so A, we don't have to butt heads again. It's like, okay, I got it. Now I know I need to set up a system so that doesn't happen again. That's a kingdom opportunist. And I'm not saying I get it all together. I'm just using it as an analogy. Still a little frustrated. Watch this. They shake off the past with integration. They look at a rock in a hard place as an opportunity to build and develop. When others revert to playing the opportunity, watch this. Let me say this. The opportunist is always looking to Jesus because he knows that, or she knows he has the answers. They're not looking to worldly resources. That's why they don't waste kingdom offers. It was Peter spending time with Jesus that got him in a place of this revelation that broke him out of his comfortability and caused him to conform to something that would be revolutionary. They look at rocks in a hard place as an opportunity to build and develop. When others revert to playing, the opportunist looks to sustaining what others left behind because it's boring. They hold on to the potential of someone when others have left this person and their potential. I know a pastor who knows of an influential pastor that he actually put him on staff at a church for a season. And he has said before, it was the best decision I ever made because of the law of attraction and favor that came on the house by not wasting that potential or that person, even though others, because they disagreed and butted heads and didn't create preservation through prevention, but they separated from each other. This pastor saw it as an opportunity to tap into that person's potential. Now this person is internationally known because a pastor decided to not forsake him when others did. This minister that's internationally known, I know he was going to just go back to a factory and work a factory job. And now he has international favor. Can I tell you something? They hold on to the potential of someone when others have left this person and their potential. They don't change what they are doing easily. This is an opportunist. They don't throw out value. They simply choose a different route to utilize that value. It's kind of like if all ins don't work in July, it doesn't mean we scratch all ins. We just change a different month if we have to. And I'm just using that as an example. They work hard at shaking off the discouragement that is the result of successful attempts from the adversary to steal their confidence. They work hard at discouragement. Watch this. They work hard at discouragements not becoming mindsets, so they do their due diligence to shift their mind. They don't want to be devoured or swallowed up by discouragement. And you know, the Lord gave me a definition of discouragement. Can I just share it with you really quick? Discouragement is a disentanglement of mind and union with Christ. Let me say that again. Discouragement is a disentanglement of mind and union with Christ. Let me explain. Disentanglement means this, and this is a definition found on Google, not me or my iPad, right? Disentanglement is free something or someone from an entanglement. To rescue, to free someone from an entanglement. It's to disentangle someone. It's like disentanglement, like your hair. It could get twisted up in knots and stuff like that. And see, I believe discouragement can become, watch this, a disentanglement, a disengagement of your mind that is meant to be in union with Christ. And see, they work hard at discouragements, not becoming mindsets, so they do their due diligence to shift their mindset. They're an opportunist. So I'm going to finish with this right here. How many of you want this kind of mentality? I don't know about you, but I want to be this kind of person. Number one, I want to share the actions of an opportunist really quick. I kind of already did, but I just want to talk about actions of the opportunist. Number one, they take back by getting back to. Let me say that again. They take back by getting back to. Getting back to what? Getting back to doing what they may have lost. Number two, they give back. They start gathering intel. They start gathering prosperity. They start gathering blessings where they're actually able to give back. Number three, they thrive forward. They thrive forward. These don't need extreme, deep, detailed thoughts on it. Number four, and I'm finishing with this one. The entrepreneur spirit is given a platform to come alive. I want to be that in my home. I want to be that in my ministry. I want to be that for my city. I want to be that. Well, you know, I should want to be that for my city. See, an opportunist gives more thought to where there hasn't been thought. And I don't know about you, and this is an intimate setting. I'm not saying this is like a sweaty, preachy, prophetic declaration, but I believe this is the spirit that God wants to wrap the hearts and minds of people with through the Spirit of God. It's not a separate spirit. It's an attribute of the Spirit of God. Stand with me all over the church, please. An opportunist defeats judgment. How many of you want that? And then that alone. It's like, man, I will take an opportunistic spirit for the purpose, for the sole purpose of keeping my mind in union with Christ and fighting it against discouragement. And I will do my due diligence to be an opportunist so that I can actually defeat judgments. Father, help us. Just close your eyes for a second. Opportunist, look at judgment as an opportunity to bring a change of mindset. But they don't take on the identity of the judgment. They just use it as a motivation force to escape its tentacles of confinement. So they fight to lay down in the pastures of heaven. Lord, help us to be driven towards this kind of spirit in Jesus' name. A point that I didn't make, but an action of the opportunist is optimism. Father, I just pray that there would be this optimism that would just overwhelm and flood people's hearts in this season. And Father, I just pray that you would come, Holy Spirit, and flood our hearts in Jesus' name. Some of you are like, oh man, I just want you to get up and prophesy. Listen, I poured out my heart out a lot with prophetic. We're just praying right now. You tired? Well, yeah, but it's not fueling this right here. How many of you know we just don't want to get in a rut with stuff that's, you know, that become, we don't want things to become common, right? Father, I just pray right now for this opportunistic type of drive to be upon us, Lord. This opportunist spirit would just flood us, Lord. I just want you to lay your hands on your hearts if you can. And I just want you to say this. Just say, God, I don't care what you call it. I pray that you would overwhelm my heart in this season with what is supposed to be the tuning fork for my family.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.